I'm Marco Werman. This is The World. China's leaders like to control how religion is practiced in their country. For example, there's a state-sanctioned Catholic church with leaders approved by Beijing rather than the Vatican, an underground church developed as a response, and then there's Buddhism. China has the largest population of Buddhists in the world, more than 200 million by some estimates. Some say that's because of a collaborative arrangement between Chinese Buddhists and the Communist Party. Others find it an unwelcome partnership, as we hear in this report from Ruth Morris.
In a small apartment on a busy Shanghai street, a 31-year-old woman, Anna, copies Buddhist religious texts into a notebook.
I think it helps me to understand it. And then also, it creates good karma.
Anna is not this woman's real name. And her study of religion is something she typically keeps pretty private. Anna belongs to a new crop of Chinese citizens, well-educated, often city dwellers, who are helping to revive Buddhism under the rule of China's Communist Party, which is officially atheist. Anna grew up with a grandfather who was staunchly anti-religion. He told her that religion was the tool of emperors, used to manipulate the masses.
And we had a Buddha. It was an antique on the table, and he criticized it for a long time until my mom had to tell him, it's not religion, it's just an investment. We hope to sell it sometime later to make money, because there's no other way to shut him up. He just hates religion.
These days, the Communist Party is more tolerant of religion, but officially demands that people worship in state-controlled settings. Private religious study groups like Anna's are tolerated, although the government could shut them down at any moment. And there's something else that makes Anna's situation tricky. She studies Tibetan Buddhism. The Communist Party considers Tibet's exiled spiritual leader, the Dalai Lama, a criminal and a separatist.
There's two ways to enter, to step in the inside.
Walking around the Arhat Temple in Chongqing, 30-year-old entrepreneur Alan Ying points out the statues of life-size spiritual bodyguards. He's wearing a T-shirt that says, "Be merciful." Like many Buddhists in China, he sees the relationship between the government and temples like this one as a win-win.
Definitely a win-win. Because if, you know, the government does some work, some solid work to promote Buddhism in China, I think will help a lot to elevate the image of the government. Buddhism actually is very important in a lot of Chinese people's mind.
In a building off to the side, we visit the temple's philanthropy office. Alan strikes up a conversation with Miss Jiang, an administrator in her 60s. As she speaks with Alan, she mentions something that hints at how the government and Chinese Buddhist temples work together these days. The office where Miss Jiang works reports to the local civil affairs bureau on how much money it collects from donors. The government then guides the temple on how to spend it. She says the temple pays school fees for underprivileged kids in the mountains nearby. They help others with hospital bills, and they've offered disaster relief to victims after the Sichuan quake.
They donate money to a guy who was bitten by a snake.
Scholars say the Chinese government is increasingly supportive of Buddhism and its philanthropy. The charities take pressure off China's cash-strapped local governments. Authorities have even pitched in to help renovate Buddhist temples and boost tourism, but that's created a new source of tension. At the famed Jade Buddha Temple in Shanghai, a group of monks is moving between altars, chanting for a deceased devotee. It costs about $1,500 for 10 monks to perform this rite. For $6,000, 40 monks will do it. There's also a poster advertising blessings for your car. The more expensive the model, the more expensive the blessing. Some see commercialism as a dangerous side effect of Buddhism's state-sponsored revival.
This is like you're buying something from a store.
That's Anna again, the woman studying Tibetan Buddhism. She says some big temples charge huge fees for auspicious rites, like the privilege of lighting the first round of incense on Chinese New Year.
It's always some rich businessman or some officials that gets into going first. I don't think that's Buddhism, because if you if you pay the big money and then you be the first one to burn the incense, in return, the Buddhas will protect you. Doesn't that make the Buddha also a corrupted official?
China's Buddhist leaders have been deft at managing their relationship with the Communist Party, but it remains to be seen how they'll manage their relationship with the almighty buck, or renminbi. For The World, I'm Ruth Morris, Shanghai, China.
Ruth's report originally aired on the public radio program Interfaith Voices as part of their God and Government series.